Hello, welcome to Pod Ruin America.
The one and only.
The one and only.
Pod that will ruin America. Yeah, I don't like that the mic doesn't follow me.
Not anymore. We got these new awesome stands that don't allow us to move.
Yeah, don't allow us to move or be aesthetic.
Yeah, but I think it's more intimate. It's more close.
Well, more, I mean, I feel like I'm talking to a rabbit's butt, which is has its own charm. Yeah.
I have a yellow cup. Last time I had a blue cup.
I have a, he can afford an actual cup. My pay has been docked, so yeah, foam cups.
Because of the Patreon, it's spiraling.
Yeah, spiraling.
Just zero.
Into decline, yeah. And the last video getting only 63,000 views.
That's okay.
Which is okay.
I like that. I like that we have a small base.
Yeah, I enjoy fading from relevance. That's that's what I enjoy.
It's just a little blip. It's like the drop in the stock market. You know, it drops 100 points, 200 points. You get concerned once you get to 1,000, but it's just a little blip. It all goes up in the end.
So we're the stock market.
We're the stock market.
We're the NASDAQ.
Except just down for right now.
Except, and yeah.
The first thing we want to talk about is this doctor named Leah Torres, who is quote-unquote a nasty woman, OBGYN, promoting healthy sexual practices and education, political activist, and general do-gooder. But there's a twist to Leah Torres.
We have her address on the internet if anybody's interested in that sort of thing.
No doxing, no harassment, only mean tweets at her. No,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, you're just that's got not a Patreon lot. Bad.
Patreon just bad for Patreon. That's just a joke.
That's what happened.
Don't
do that. That's what happened to Naked Ape, if I'm not mistaken.
You would say,
I totally don't want you guys to go harass this person.
Seriously, don't harass this woman. But she's crazy. But in a way that we just want her to be crazy alone.
I mean, I assume she'll be allowed to adopt cats, as many cats as she wants.
All right. So anyway, so the reason we're talking about this woman is because we're just so floored as to how she talks about abortions. So she says, no, you know, fetuses can't scream, right? I transect the cord first, so there's really no opportunity if they're even far enough along to have a larynx.
So she first says that they can't scream, and then she explains that they can't scream because I made it that they can't scream. They can't intrinsically not scream. It's that she prevents them from screaming by way of a surgical intervention. That's like Mengele saying, Jews can't be alive because I killed them before.
They can't scream because I put a muzzle on them before. We're making fun and all, but babies dying, yeah. Not a good thing.
No, that's certainly not. It's certainly not something that you justify by... It's certainly not something that's justified by having severed their larynx beforehand.
No, I think that's a bad thing as well.
So that's pretty reprehensible. It's a pretty disgusting thing, all jokes aside. And the fact that she can flaunt that without serious reprisal is... I mean, the thing about it is she probably faced enough reprisal that she deleted it.
Well, but I don't think she did, actually, because she's actively defending what she said, because she's getting a lot of flack for it, predictably.
Well, I mean, you have people like, I mean, as much as I dislike the guy, but Milo Yiannopoulos tweeting about black babies and whatnot, mm-hmm. He gets banned as soon as possible because he tweets something mean at Rosie O'Donnell, but you can mouth just utter vitriol and utter fucking toxin as anti-baby. The thing about it is, even if there is a legitimate debate as to whether or not fetuses constitute life, the fact is she's saying A, they're far enough along that she has to sever the larynx to prevent them from screaming, which is clearly a unacceptable manner of addressing this.
And well, it's like, I feel like there's a tone of sassiness to this tweet, as if she's reveling in this fact.
Well, I mean, it's not as if she actually is. She said just to say how little she cares about this fetus's non-existence.
She's gleeful.
She just throws it in the face of those who consider it life, and it's just like in utterly reprehensible fashion. Left-wing hatred of that fashion. A funny moral double standard is that we're allowed to be as anti-human as we want in this fashion, but if you had attached a racial qualifier to this beforehand, if you had said a black fetus, well then everybody would lose their mind.
Yeah, well
that'd be horrendous. Rightfully so. But mm-hmm. you add a little racial qualifier, and then. Well, it's suddenly a fetus, even in the left-wing mind, becomes alive.
Okay, so next topic is globalist cone and the Jews.
Now this put out a video. They have suggested that Donald Trump, in joking about Gary Cohn being a globalist, is hearkening to a anti-Semitic dog whistle. He's implying that his globalism is in some way consequent of his Jewishness. And then they substantiate, they don't actually, they don't substantiate that. That's the thing. They just tell you as if it's a fact that this term globalist is mired in anti-Semitism. And they even play someone like Alex Jones, who was married to a Jewish woman and had a child with her, so indeed has, by Jewish law, a Jewish kid, is saying something anti-Semitic when he talks about globalism. Trump, whose daughter married a Jew and indeed converted to Judaism, so his daughter is Jewish, is somehow also
anti-Semitic.
He's also anti-Semitic in consequence of that. So it's, well, just like
the Atlantic just compared it to the term thug.
Yeah, which is of course in their view meant to be, which is kind of racist of itself. If you think that everyone calling somebody a thug is referring to blacks, it's like it's a little bit of projection there, don't you think? Weirdly, a moderately, or at least was upon a time a moderately respectable publication like the Atlantic,
advanced
this, wrote an entire article in which they talk about how this is a dog whistle to anti-Semitism, and they never substantiate how that's the case. They never even attempt to.
He said that the article claims that sure, you can use the word globalist in a way that's not racist in intent, mm-hmm. but when it comes to Donald Trump, you'd have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Something he lost long ago. They cite the him saying.
Well, so actually, they don't cite him saying that. They cite somebody who wrote a book in which he claimed that he said the only kind of people I want counting my money are short guys that wear yarmulkes. Beyond the fact that if I was going to hire an accountant, it would be a short guy wearing a yarmulke because I have, you know, some sort of, because I realize that he's probably not going to mess up because he's Jewish and he likes money. But anyway.
I don't think that's right.
I mean, if I want to be stereotyped as something, it's like, your stereotype is that you're successful.
And you're good at accounting.
And you're good at, you can competently discharge the expectations of this job. Ah! Shut up.
Presumably, there's a lot of people with a short attention span, which is, you know, this is their fault if they just watch 2 seconds of an analysis video and then feel informed. But so they essentially say President Trump uses an anti-Semitic slur just outright. That is a fact, as if there is no middle ground.
Right. There's no.
How do people take now this seriously? I'm genuinely
ambiguity
confused.
Ambiguity there. They have little infographics, and so it appeals to that fucking segment of the market that just hears a. Are we allowed to say the F word? Yes, we are. But they just see a little infographic, and without any qualification, without any corroboration, they assume that, I guess I'm informed now. It's just a very lazy form of...
I guess the name of the company makes, now this.
But I mean, at least usually, even in their lazy sort of political propagandizing, they attempt to cite something to substantiate a claim that they're saying, but they don't. They just play some bald guy saying, and this is a globalist, and globalism means anti-Semitism because anti-Semites occasionally use globalist to refer to Jews. It's like, okay, well, any group that is undesirable that affects a term now takes ownership of that term? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that, you know, any number of undesirable groups have like communists. I'm not very fond of communists, and they all the time use the term fascist incorrectly, but that doesn't mean that fascists don't legitimately exist. They don't take ownership of that epithet, and that epithet doesn't intrinsically become some sort of communist-owned dictum.
The next story comes from Wired. So Wired published this article delineating the new guideline, well, not new guidelines, a new feature of YouTube that they're rolling out. Susan Wojcicki has announced that if you search and click on a conspiracy theory video, say about chemtrails or 9/11, what have you, YouTube's now going to link to a Wikipedia page that debunks the hoax alongside the video. They cite an example of, say, a video calling into question whether humans ever landed on the moon. They put alongside that a official Wikipedia article about the Apollo moon landing in 1969. Now, obviously, I'm kind of skeptical about the efficacy of this. If someone's genuinely convinced of one of these conspiracy theories, Susan implemented a little feature there that tells you that, no, this is not true, is not going to convince them otherwise. And she says that it's only going to be implemented on the conspiracy theories that have significant debate on the platform.
Well, of course, you can have apprehensions as to what constitutes conspiracy, right? I mean, the left likes to dismiss anything the right will say as being in some way conspiratorial. So maybe some claims that the IRA scandal under Obama, maybe some would constitute
IRA. The Irish.
Sorry, the IRS scandal in which, you know, they were targeted groups. They might try to dismiss that as a conspiracy or some such. Hmm. There might be apprehensions on the part of some people to think that maybe they're going to try to dismiss legitimate theorizing, let's say, with...
But like I was saying, I think that it's so unconvincing that someone who's, say, looking at this video and say they find it compelling for whatever reason, if they see a little asterisk there put by the YouTube CEO, I don't think they're going to be that.
Well, I mean, it's a conspiracy theory because they already recognize that it's not the mainstream point of view. So it's like there's not a lot of utility in saying, oh, the Earth is flat, and everyone thinks that the Earth is not flat. And it's like, well, actually, here's a reason that the Earth is actually not flat. And they're going to go, wait a sec.
Like, well, people were saying also, well, why don't you link to legitimate news sites like NPR or legitimate news sites like NPR or the New York Times, right? And it's also, you have to think to yourself, okay, so let's say there's a video about the Earth being flat. You'll be hard pressed to find any flat earther who's going to think to themselves, "Oh wait, there's a link from even NASA." Okay, so let's put Wikipedia aside. NASA says that the Earth is actually round. I don't think they're going to change their mind because they see a little asterisk there saying that. I doubt the efficacy, but I'm also glad that Wojcicki is not just going to flat out just remove these videos.
Well, one way in which it's better is because, I mean, even aside from the obvious problem that censorship is not good, but there is the fact that it's not even effective, right? If I'm seriously convinced that there are, you know, aliens living among us, and then if anything, that's going to further ingratiate my indignance and belief in that theory, because I'm going to think, oh, well, this the same group that I think is concealing this information just vindicated me by taking it down. They were threatened by it. Ah, I'm going to double down on my belief.
Well, it's reminiscent of these alt-right types, right, where they thought that we took down the video because actually we're wrong, and we know we're wrong or some such.
Yeah, any adjustment made is confirmation of the pre-existing beliefs, right? And so it's like, well, even if the video is re-uploaded, then it's still somehow vindicative of our belief. That's their thought process. So it doesn't make sense to. I mean, I guess to those, there's some people who are, I guess, very credulous, especially what I find to be older people, that are going to come into exposure of crap like flat earthism and then kind of be seduced by it. And maybe being reminded that the Earth is round is going to help them.
They're going to be reminded by NASA.
They're going to be reminded by Wikipedia and Wojcicki.
At least they're not taking down videos. I think that's something that we can all get behind.
They're probably doing that too.
They're probably fucking doing that too.
Like the low hanging fruit stuff will get a nice little Wikipedia asterisk, and then
our video on Google will get disappeared.
It'll get disappeared to basically the population of a small town.
Speaking of which, if you guys saw, I saw a lot of comments saying that the video was unavailable in Canada. A lot of comments were saying,
"Oh, really?"
This. Yeah, so maybe that had to do the reason why we're just getting destroyed by Wojcicki.
Time to make a hit piece on Trudeau. That's what I think.
All right, next topic, Carl Benjamin. So as you may have seen by now, there's been a lot of videos circulating. He had a talk in, what college was it? I think it was some university out in the UK,
It was King's College.
Yeah.
London.
And came to blows. Carl Benjamin, I think, handled himself quite
well. Apparently he seized the Antifa flag himself and held it up very proudly.
It's like that portrait, or not a portrait, it's a painting of the French woman.
There are probably many portraits. And
but it's the infamous one. It's the infamous one where there's a drummer boy and then her tits fucking falling out.
Oh, right.
And it was used for the cover art of that Coldplay album.
It's unbelievably predictable, fever pitch.
Well, you would think recently. They would learn by now, right? You think that by now they know that they're just making these people more famous.
They make them more famous, and then they vindicate their beliefs because people become more seduced by their. They're not. There's no use in explaining this to them because they wouldn't be doing it in the first place if they were sufficiently socialized to understand why it's stupid to be climbing stages and attacking speakers. If they knew that they were shooting themselves in the foot, they wouldn't be doing it in the first place. Commendably, the vice chancellor / principal and the
pretty sure it was a principal.
No, it was the
college.
Principal, and there was someone else. There was the chairman of the board of something.
Two important people.
Two head honchos at the school. They wrote letters of support for Peterson's talk, emphasizing that it should be a physically safe place, but it's also not a place to infantilize. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to insulate you from different ideas. A couple of long-haired, weird things, sexually ambiguous characters, androgynous figures. They ran up with their tie-dye sign and they started screaming angrily. Various others were chanting about white supremacy, even while Peterson's perhaps entire brand is in opposition to identity-centric thinking. Not only are they so poorly socialized that they forgot that they're not in the third grade, and they're throwing temper tantrums publicly, which is just embarrassing. I mean, it makes sense that they're wearing balaclavas now. They're not trying to conceal their identity. They're just trying to conceal their embarrassment, I hope. That's me being optimistic.
Well, it's like that guy we interviewed over outside here, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, not outside here?
Yeah, yeah. The one of them.
Don't dox us.
Yeah, not outside.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's all. Well, I mean, LA sort of outside here. Anyway.
Right. So LA, the greater Los Angeles area. Anyway, so there was that guy that was wearing the fuck Trump bandana, and he was telling you to eat shit. Yeah. And what is it like to eat shit? And
eggs.
Overall, just being a fun dude with reasonable opinions on things. So they think that they're going to get all these women because they're fighting for their honor. And then later what happens is you're talking to these girls, right?
Yeah.
They start turning on him because he's being annoying.
Yeah,
because
I actually, they start asking me like why I believe the things I do. The girls come up to me and they ask me to articulate my beliefs. And so I begin to talk about, somebody asked me about Muslims and I talk about Islam's compatibility with the West and whatnot. And they're actually, most of them are reasonable and they're actually interested in what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking, they're like, okay, he doesn't sound like a crazy right winger or whatnot. And then so they're parading around with their stupid shtick, egg shit.
Well, they're trying to disrupt the conversation.
They're trying to disrupt it. And then even these feminist broads look at him and they're like, can you like stop being autistic? This guy's just talking to us. Nothing against autists, but. Well, then they just walk away dejectedly. They're just like, oh, he's a bigot. Don't you get it?
Wait, why am I here then? The women don't want me.
Yeah, so their purpose is eliminated. I seldom met dudes who are genuinely impassioned by this. The social justice brand of politicking. They don't actually care all that much. It's just that they are hoping to get access to ovaries. It's what GATSAD and others have called the sneaker fucker strategy. Mm-hmm. Which realistically is what it is. I mean, you talk to them at any length. I doubt any of them are authentic, but they're very convicted about it when they're in the company of a female crowd.
Well, not to reference this video once again, but in the beginning, there was those two guys that we asked them, why are you here? And they said, we love women.
Yeah,
what do you love about women? I just love women.
They're just women. Yeah. Great ovaries.
Which, you know, you can't fault them too much. I mean, they're just there trying to fulfill their biological imperatives.
Right. So. Except that women don't find it very attractive when you do nothing but pander to them.
Of course.
And you saw those dynamics kind of play out when, you know, the guy's like, the guy literally acquiesces when I tell him to check that he's a white man. He can't therefore speak. Do you think a woman's actually attracted to a man after that, where he self-censors himself and another man tells him to stop speaking? And the woman's going to go, oh, there's a winner. I want to carry his offspring into the future.
According to the National Post, and Jordan Peterson also mentioned this, where he said that police... Or the National Post reports that police searched her backpack, one of these disruptors, and found a garrote, which is, if you don't know...
Hopefully we pronounced that correctly.
Garrote, it's garrote. I looked it up to make sure.
That looked it up.
I looked it up, which is a metal wire with handles. There's no other purpose for this beyond...
But to wrap it around your throat.
But to choke people with it.
The thing that's so baffling about this is just that they, in calling him a white supremacist and whatnot, they reveal that they obviously have not even done a modicum of research.
Well, it's like that video I uploaded, where he asks, have you seen my videos? You would know that I'm not a Nazi if you've seen my videos, says Peterson. And she says, oh, of course I've seen them all. He counters, well, there's 500 hours or so of them. Mm-hmm. And then she follows up by saying, you think you're worth all that time? It's very clear.
Well, that's the classic trope by which, you know, you ask them to elaborate on a concept. Like, oh, so what cultural appropriation, let's say?
Yes. Or, maybe give your little story, your little Tinder interaction.
Yeah, well, I was recently talking to a girl from Tinder, and she was very complimentary, but she made a snap in which she lamented that somebody around in her proximity, some kid, questioned that cultural appropriation is a bad thing.
So he was saying that maybe it's not so bad after
all. Maybe it's not so bad. And then she's like, oh, I can't even with generic emojis that are just angry.
Typical Californian.
Right, Californian girl who's never had her ideas examined.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I messaged her. I'm like, so what's so bad about cultural appropriation anyway? It's like, well, if you can't, maybe if you went to college and you'd know. Like, oh, okay. So then I need to go to college in order to grasp identity politics 101. That's a good use of my resources and my time.
Yeah, you need to spend thousands of dollars to have.
Yeah. And ask her in good faith, you know, okay, how does one, what is the process by which one group claims ownership to entire concepts or ideas, and why is the exchange of those ideas a bad thing? Why is it bad for me to enjoy a form of art previously established by another group? And by the way, let's say we use the structure of government that has facilitated those art forms being created, free expression, et cetera, which have find their origins in the Enlightenment and before in Western Europe and the like. Is that therefore a form of cultural appropriation? When you exercise your right to speak, are you appropriating European concepts and values?
Well, I think, to be fair to them, they make the distinction that if you're profiteering off of...
So if you're wearing a sombrero and you're white...
Yeah, if you're white, you're profiteering off of that because women on Halloween parties just gravitate towards men wearing white men wearing sombreros, right. Whereas the Mexican men wearing sombreros...
And they're not getting the benefits.
They're not getting the benefits.
It's inauthentic, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not authentic. You inauthentically gain...
So you're trying to get the benefits of wearing a sombrero without actually understanding what a sombrero is, which is... Yeah. It involves lots of really difficult concepts like blocking sun and, you know, crazy things like that.
Right, yeah.
But also this reminds me of the that recent video. I don't know if you've seen it. I tweeted it out. And it was about this woman who was criticizing Bruno Mars for apparently appropriating black culture. She was so impassioned by this. She was so impassioned. She was saying that this was unacceptable, that he's, what is it? That he's, well, he's not African American. He's Cuban and some other amalgamation of... ethnicities. And the way they argue is so annoying too, right? They have this sort of clapping thing. I didn't think these people actually existed outside of Twitter. I thought they were, that's where they lived and that's how they acted in these little social media bubbles. But it appears that they actually have their own YouTube channels that are very successful, surprisingly, on YouTube, where it's usually dominated by the right wing. Right. And so it's a group of just all blacks. Not, I'm just saying they're black. They're all there and they're all clapping, trying to get each other's attention. It just seems like a very ineffective way to communicate with one another.
They're all sitting there and they're clapping.
They're all clapping, and she's saying, this isn't good because of this. And then this
they're living out the Twitter thing.
But they're all clapping. They're all trying to get each other's attention by screaming and yelling.
It's sort of like,
we just interrupt each other and we stop talking.
Right. Except, well, it's out of born from a mutual understanding of our capacity to inflict harm upon one another. And so we see ground when we can.
They're so proud of this meme, by the way. There's an article on it where they said that white people need to stop using the clap emoji. It's like, good, I don't want to use that because you look like an idiot when you use these fucking emojis.
Uh-huh.
They're proud of it, though. They're proud of their loud, obnoxious emojis.
Yeah, well, that's something they can keep. They can keep that, but we get the fried chicken. We get the soul music.
I like soul music. I like fried chicken.
We get the...
Can't eat that much these days, though, because, you know...
Because what?
It's unhealthy.
Oh.
Actually, they can keep it, too. All right, so I think we've exhausted the... How did we even get to cultural appropriation?
The kind of mentality that undergirds these social justice types.
Yes,
all right. And those who protest them and how they're... Well, the thing about it is it's because they're so rigid. And I guess we're going to make a video about this, I can say. I can preface this with. But they're so rigid to other points of view that they're surprised that these other points of view even exist in the first place. So when somebody like Peterson comes on and he is the physical manifestation of the archetype of some sort of oppressive white man, they don't even care to hear what he has to say simply because they're in a state of disbelief that these ideas even exist. They don't even know what the ideas are, but they exist. And they're like, well, what? And they respond in a manner that is to preserve their very existence because they think his existence is in some way an attempt to cancel theirs out.
Anthony Fantano brings us to our final point.
Yeah, there we are with the world's busiest internet pontificator, the world's internet's social democrat, the internet's busiest
man.
Clown.
Just to preface, I'm a big fan of Anthony. I think you can say the same, at least to an extent. I watch his reviews all the time. I'll have lunch. I'll have a...
I watch his reviews from time to time. I've been a fan of him. I thought he was actually a pretty level-headed, level-meloned character. And I always thought that he was relatively funny, and he seemed to have a head in his shoulders. It's a classic example of somebody who is, you know, well... esteemed in what they do, and they think that's going to transfer over into everything that they do. They begin to talk about things in which they're very much out of their depth. In doing that, he began to speak about somebody very near and dear to our hearts. Dr. Jordan, what's his name? Bridge Busby Peterson.
Yes.
And in talking about him, he made a couple tweets. Okay, so Peterson famously talked about, he's repeatedly criticized the movie Frozen and has talked about it in contrast with
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping
Beauty.
Beauty
and the Beast? Which one?
I think both, actually. You know, of course, Beauty and the Beast being the taming of the primal sexual desire of women being manifested in their desire to tame a beastly man, etc. They had eternal truths that weren't just conjured up for political reasons. Unlike Frozen, which is, in his view, innately propagandistic. Cringe-thinny, cringe-tano, deep-think-thinny, thought-tano, as I like to call him, has quoted an interview that he had in which he said, he was asked, aren't we allowed to make up news stories? To which Peterson replied, not for political reasons. And then Anthony tries to mock him as some sort of weird conspiracist kook. He's like, I called George Orwell on the phone. Seems we can't make up stories to explain a political point. You know, he thinks that, of course, this has been done a million times in cringing these view. These things have been done before and successfully. Instead of actually attempting to criticize him in an elaborated way, Anthony chooses to call him a King Clown Peterson and says that this, you know, tenured professor with a following of millions, a master troll. He's a troll at best and a moron at worst. This guy ascended to, you know, he lectured Harvard and whatnot, all the while being a moron. So he just kind of duped. Either. So if he's a moron, our institutions cannot be fucking trusted. They cannot. Harvard cannot be trusted.
What does that say about
U of T can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Millions of very intelligent people, it cannot be
his
trusted.
His research can't be trusted. Presumably.
His research can't be trusted. The research upon which his opinions has largely been predicated. He's not always right. He's not infallible. But to call him a moron is just unbelievably just ridiculous. It's unbelievably ridiculous. And like, you have opinions on music. For some reason people find it valuable. You shouldn't believe that means that you have the credibility to make a mockery of somebody like Jordan Peterson and to snipe at his credibility with limited substantiation.
Well, this is a recurring theme, it seems, among these leftists. And I don't want to call them a leftist. Among these left-leaning people. So you have people like Jeet here from the New Republic. You have plenty of these academics, and people in media, New Republic, obviously. You have people like Ira Wells in academia, many a critic of Jordan Peterson who will always snipe and shit on his credibility,
right,
and say, oh, this guy has no academic... I mean, what's his name? Pimelo from the Lindsay Shepherd fiasco at Wilfrid Laurier. They similarly said, Jordan Peterson has no academic credibility. Of course, never elaborating as to what exactly they take issue with, what points that they specifically do not agree with, or, you know, so on and so forth. And Jordan Peterson has talked about a lot of things. His talks are not focused on solely on politics, or they're so broad. He talks about a lot of things. Just to say that this guy is outright just a moron or an overrated quote unquote thinker.
Well, it's just totally belying a lack of just a total arrogance first and foremost, just fucking unbridled narcissism. But there's also an element of envy that drives a lot of these sort of questioning of Peterson's, let's say, I don't necessarily want to say credibility, but his depth of knowledge or credence, right?
Well, that's what Ira Wells said.
I mean,
too,
there's you know, like somebody who's, you know, I believe sort of libertarian, Steve Horowitz, he's an academic. He said that Peterson frequently speaks out of his depth. Peter Hitchens said that he's aware of a certain cult surrounding Peterson, and Hitchens is somebody who's culturally conservative, who should otherwise be, by every other indication, favorable to Peterson. But a lot of these people are actually just envious of his success, which is kind of pathetic. But in the case of these leftists, they I mean, there was that article that called him the dumb man's intellectual, stupid man's intellectual.
Well, that's what Jeet here said of the New Republic as well. And you'll notice that despite the fact that the needle drop, or Anthony Fantano, his secondary channel, even, he has a very sizable audience. And if he was interested in actually expounding, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Peterson is a moron. I would like to be enlightened as to how that is and why you think that and why that what that looks like in practice.
Oh, well, yeah, when your second channel has northward of 300,000 subscribers, and Peterson has talked to people with much smaller followings, you could easily take him to task on the issue of Frozen. You could easily ask him how he's arrived at these conclusions and brought him. And Peterson has, by the way, been a decently humble guy. If he's got something wrong, he said, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong on this. Of course, he, like everyone else, is desirous of preserving his beliefs, but he's fairly reasonable in these regards. And so somebody like Fantano could easily actually address him.
And it's not something that he's not out of his depth in necessarily, right? Because, I mean, he's obviously a cultural critic in a big way,
A lot of what he talks about, most principally, is his belief system is predicated on culture, the fundamentals of culture.
Right, exactly. So if
when he talks about movies, of course, it's driven by that.
Anthony talks about music and different cultural happenings, so it would not be completely out of his depth. And I feel as if it would be a productive conversation, if anything.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, Fantano's somebody who is modeled.
But not anymore, though. Not anymore.
Well, you close every venue for positive discussion when you just call them King Clown and various other shit that is totally unproductive. You know, he could talk to him, but one thing that this sort of reveals to me about Fantano, because I thought he was level-headed, and it turns out he's just as emotively driven as so many on the left are. He's just going to resort to mockery and derision before he actually attempts to engage him in a constructive way.
So you have people on the left, like Sam Harris, for instance, or there's many others, Steve Pinker, I would argue, Christina Hoff Sommers, people on the left who clearly think that at least Peterson is worth engaging, even on a on at least some level. Anthony Fantano, for some reason, thinks that
civility is what that level is.
Right, exactly.
Like, well, you want to mock them is like the thing is, and the reason most people responded to Fantano in a negative way, most people did not agree with him in this, little screed of his, is that because most people recognize this is functionally devoid. It's some sort of angry release valve that he's pressuring, so as not to actually have to challenge him, realizing that he probably, if he were to talk to him, it wouldn't end in the fashion that he probably predicts it would.
He often frames politics in this in the way of it just being solely about money. And if you don't agree with his goal, so whether that be a living wage, as he calls it, universal health care, that you are merely acting in a way that is being financially advantageous to you, and that politicians simply won't do what he wants because they are bought out.
Yeah.
Emma Gonzalez similarly
said
so. She echoed that sentiment. And this is a classic trope on the left, where if you hold a differing perspective, there must be some sort of ulterior evil motive behind that, and not actually a difference in opinion and or different interpretation of the facts. Right.
It's the same thing with the NRA, where the NRA is actually perhaps the prime outlet for this form of belief. They just have this idea of money, and they have this, it's, I guess, kind of grounded in a certain anti-capitalism, by which they believe that money is this ultimately corruptive force. And they don't believe there's a constituency for the kind of things people are actually advocating, and that they're just motivated by this shadowy organization that wants to undermine the public for the reason of monetary gain. Because when I first heard of this NRA conspiracism stuff, I was just like, what? It was actually baffling to me. When I first heard about it, I was like, what? So people are thinking, I can understand maybe this conspiracism surrounding the Koch brothers, maybe.
Well, then
you hear about the NRA,
right?
This advocacy group, and I realized, because it was so palpably obvious to me, that there's a massive constituency for gun rights. And I'm like thinking, so your belief is actually that this group is organizing for, is lobbying in a wrist-turning way for gun manufacturers. You think gun manufacturers are using the NRA as their arm to drive gun sales? I understand corporatism exists, but that's a very fanciful theory. That's a pretty laughable fucking theory on its face.
According to this line of reasoning, the millions of members they're now getting thanks to David Hogg and his ilk, are these millions of people that are signing up for the NRA at record numbers now? Are they
that is
just
millions
corporates
of members who pay dues? And so
they're just like, corporate stooges. They all work for one corporation called the Gun Corporation, and they're flocking to the NRA. What's happening?
You know, they think like Armalite and Smith and Wesson and whatnot are trouncing their individual millions of donations and the dues that their members pay so as to promote gun sales. It's like they need the NRA to promote their gun sales. It's like, well, firstly, yeah, maybe these gun companies don't want to be disadvantaged artificially by the government, so they're going to oppose that, as any other group does, and as every other group does. So yeah, if I were a Smith & Wesson executive, I would ideally not like the government to ban my guns, ban my product, to undermine my position in the market. Yeah, I wouldn't like that. I don't think that's an irrational thing. But that doesn't mean to say there's not a legitimate demand for my product because of that, right? It's not like it's a subsidy in the corn sense or whatnot, right? It's not like they're being subsidized. It's like the sugar industry receiving government subsidies artificially. It's like there's legitimate demand for these weapons because people want guns and they like guns and they like the ownership of guns for reasons that don't really have to be justified to the left. They don't have to be justified. I don't have to convince you that I need an AR-15 for self-defense because I don't. And I don't, fuck off. I have the right to own it. I don't have to justify to you that I have the right to say a certain thing. I don't. That's the nature of rights. And I'm tired of having to defend rights on the basis that there's a minimum of force necessary requirement to my exercising a right. That's not what they are at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.